Welcome back to Right Quick,
a bite-sized pop culture conversation with your favorite queer, unfriendly black hotties.
Today we're unfriendly because so many of our black elders are leaving us. I'm Nandi K.
And I'm Vance Go. Yeah. our elders, I mean, aside from our elders leaving us, I just feel like a lot of our folks are just age, right? Like,
yeah.
Folks are getting older, and you know, yeah. I know black men more specifically be darn young. Right. So I just be anxious. Like, every time I see a picture of like Stevie Wonder online, my chest get tight.
Baby, I saw somebody post the other day and they was like, y'all, I just realized Stevie Wonder ain't immortal. And I was like, don't bring that up right now. Don't bring that up. What are you talking about?
Right. I don't want to hold that right now. Could we
I don't even want to think about that. But today we are talking about our black ancestral pantheons. With so many of our black elders leaving us over these past like decade or so, especially for millennials.
Yeah.
I wanted to like have some space for us to talk about the ancestral icons that influence us the most, that we miss the most, and why.
Yeah, so you want to talk about that? You what? Sorry, that was a thing. We'll go over the rules because this is a ranking episode, right?
I mean, it's kind of a ranking.
Well, not
episode,
ranking, but we're just gonna top five, but just five that we want to honor and highlight, right?
Yeah, five we want to honor and highlight.
Okay, so the criteria is gonna be: they must be black, they must be an ancestor, aka past, dead,
yep,
moved on to the upper room.
They can't be here with us no more.
Right. We're going to choose five titans of our black ancestral pantheon. So you want to go first, or you want?
Yeah, I'm very excited. So to represent my work ethic and no nonsense ways, I'm kicking off my first titan in my ancestral pantheon with James Brown.
Hey,
James Brown, American singer, songwriter, dancer, musician, activist, producer, the creator and a progenitor of funk music on the one, baby, the nigga who would dock your pay during a performance from the stage. You playing that shit wrong? I'm taking 25 cents off your shit, nigga. You replaceable. I'll show up with Bootsy Collins, nigga. All you niggas is out.
Was he docking pay?
Yes, he was docking pay from the stage during a performance. Boom! Docking people's pay.
They thought he was scatting. That nigga was docking pay. Fire
docking
people.
Pay. He was docking pay. And honestly, I love the professionalism. Was it right? No. But did it get niggas to tighten up? Yes.
I mean, yeah, you ain't got no choice. That C note was flat. Look,
you came in a beat late.
That's funny. That reminds me of Beyonce, like just the somebody getting fired, like the singing it on the stage type. Oh, Michael God. Jackson.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Do he got a movie?
Yeah, Chadwick Boseman played him, right? I did not watch it.
Chadwick
was like,
everybody.
What? Yeah,
Chadwick, literally, if you're a historical nigga, Chadwick played you. Like,
yeah,
Chadwick gonna play us.
All right, who you got? Who's your
all right? Okay, so number five, I chose a personal relative. So
hey.
I chose my my aunt. Her name is Tova. I'll say her whole name. She ain't here no more, so you know, ain't nobody gonna dox her. Tova Winrow. So I chose my aunt because she, out of all my relatives that passed, close relatives, she was the first one to pass, and she passed a while ago. 20 years shit. But with that being said, she just represented the best of like my family. She is kind of what I feel like I am for my friend groups. Like she was the fun one, the life of the party. She showed up for everybody. She made everyone feel special. Like, you know, everybody kind of has the same thing to say about her. Like, oh, she was my fave. And it's just like, dang, you was everybody's fave. But, you know, but yeah, just with that being said, I think it just reminds me to show up better for people and just like, you know, like hold that light that you got. Cause sometimes like, you know, when you're down and you're going through it, it's, you gotta remember to do that. So anyway, yeah, it's just, my aunt, she was the first one down. So there's other relatives, but I was a, you know, first man down. Yeah. So I always hold space for her.
That's so sweet. We love having a real relative. My family that I know ain't really shit. So they not on this list, spoiler alert, but, but we love when you do have like people in your family that you know that were that are watching down on you. I'm sure I have ancestors that I don't know that are great that are watching down on me. But yeah. All right. Next, representing my weird and artistic side, I've got Octavia E. Butler, science fiction and speculative fiction writer who won several awards for her works, including the Hugo, Locus, and Nebula Awards. And she was the first science fiction writer to receive a MacArthur Fellowship. Octavia Butler is a jack of all trades. She was so brilliant, endlessly curious. Also showed up for her family, was a caretaker for the two matriarchs of her own family, even as she aged. Just a really brilliant artist, researcher, family member, friend. I've been reading so much Octavia Butler over the past few years, and just like my life is better because I know that her work exists, and it like has us like, it's challenging and it's like, hey, it helps prepare me for like challenging shit like the apocalypse that we're in right now.
Right. I mean, yes, I feel like she's come up a lot on this podcast.
Yes.
She the big homie. You know, I'm over here in Cali. A couple things this year, actually. We went to the library. We went to Octavia's lab. We took the students there. Wow. And then we took them to CAM, the African American Museum. And they had a whole room dedicated to her. And they just had her notes. We went last week, actually.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know that was going to be there. But I thought it was dope because, like, now the kids are making the connection. Like, and they're like, oh, it's the same lady. That, and I'm like, yup. And, yeah, I think the research is just needs to be highlighted in that, like, people be saying like, oh, she's a prophetess and, you know, all this shit. And this is like, no, no, no. She was like, no, no, no. Don't put that on me. I'm not supernatural. Yep. Like, I just read.
She's like, I'm just curious. I see what's going to happen if we keep going. One thing I really liked when I read her biography last year, Positive Obsession. And she had all these kinds of books that she was working on, like a book for African naming, a book of like Pacific Northwest geology, like, because those were all things that she got interested in when she was trying to do research for her books, and she had to be able to describe these things. And so like endless curiosity, being somebody who's just like, oh, I'm interested in a bunch of stuff and I want to know about that, is really helpful. And it shows that like nothing is useless knowledge. That's another thing I love about her. All right, who you got next?
Good one. All right. So this next one, again, a little sad. I chose son, brother, cousin, undue victim to racism, Trayvon Martin. You know, it's a sad one, but I just feel like he represents just like potential, like, you know, like, and then I think like the movement that came after his passing was just like, I think I would be a different person if that thing did not happen. And I don't want to make that about me, but I'm just like, I saw the shift with a lot of people, like it woke us up. And like, I think like BLM and all these things wouldn't even exist if that didn't happen. So like, I think, but like to honor the person, like that was a human being who was taken from us too soon. So yeah, again, the untapped potential, but then just the movement after it, just like kind of activating everybody and like everybody kind of waking up and just being like, oh, this shit's fucked up. And it's still happening, obviously. But like, yeah, that again, I don't think you and I would know each other if that did not happen. Cause
I agree. I don't think. Yeah. I don't think we would have. I think you're absolutely right. For me, Trayvon Martin definitely represented a like real shift in, yeah, how I was really aware. And also, I'm from Florida. Sanford is like an hour away from Jacksonville. And that year, when the trial happened, I was at home and I was watching the trial every day at on my mom's couch, you know, while I was at home. And it was just like, and I got back to New York and then he got off and like that devastated me. I remember just like going to get drunk at this bar that I always used to drink at. And there was a huge march in New York like the next day or something like that. But yeah. So many people I think I wouldn't have known, have met if it weren't for that. And yeah, bless up. He would have been like 30.
Yeah.
He
would have
turned 30 this year. His birthday just passed. Yeah. My God. My God. All right. The next person I have representing my pro-blackness and my musician and churchy side is Donny Hathaway.
Yeah, yo boy.
Yeah, this is my boo, American soul singer, keyboardist, songwriter. Honestly, musical like prodigy, I think. Donny Hathaway had a record deal at the age of 3. He got a gospel, like a gospel record deal when he was 3 years old.
Three is
like,
crazy.
This child was talented. He was also mentally ill. He really struggled with mental illness and he took his own life at the age of 33. There's something about Donnie's like his upbringing in church, his queerness that we're not necessarily we don't have that much evidence of, but we're pretty sure. All that stuff, I feel that, and there's just like I think like a sadness that comes with like losing I don't want to say like losing your religion, but when people think things about you but who are religious because of, you know, they have different opinions and what that looks like. I love Donny Hathaway. He was the cover king. He would cover people's shit immediately. That shit had just came out last week.
Right.
That shit came out last week. He said the Beatles came out with what?
Right. You did something. Let me do something with it.
Yeah. And also he was also like someone who just talked about shit black people were going through, you know, like.
Did he do Be Real Black for Me, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that song. That song reminds me of you because you love Donnie and then like you also love blackness.
I almost submitted that for like the Music League this week because it was like greatest song of all time.
Ooh.
And I almost submitted that, but these crack has been fucking with me. So I've been switching up my, because I've been trying to win. I came in first place last week because me and my friend, we've been swinging the votes. But we've been swinging the votes every week. So I'm like, you fucking white bitches, stop picking your white songs. So every week I'd be like, what you pick? And they'd be like, what you pick? And then we give each other the points. I was going to do Big Girl Black for me because it's been sampled so many times that like on my block, that's probably the first time I ever heard the sample of Big Girl Black for me. On my blog. So yeah, I mean like that Donny Hathaway is very special to me. Like I just relate to him deeply.
Okay. All right. The next person I have on here is American musical performer, producer, arranger, and composer. Quincy Jones.
Yes, I meant to put him on there. So when as soon as you said it, I said yes. It's Quincy.
Yeah. So I think Quincy, just for his contributions to like niggerdom, blackness. I also really aspire to be an old nigga that just talks shit, like
tell everybody business.
Yeah, when he was 90 and just running his mouth,
telling about who was fucking who.
Right, right. He what was it? It was
Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando. What's his name? Richard
Baldwin.
Pryor.
Oh, Richard Pryor did not James Baldwin screaming.
Richard Pryor's estate was like he was not slinging throat, and I was like, was you there? Like
Quincy was there.
Like Quincy was there.
Was there. You said I was at the juke joint. And the thug was open.
It was he was giving out that Charlie Kirk.
Oh God.
That Nancy Reagan. He was slinging it. Well anyway, yeah. So Quincy Jones. I mean, you can't even say all the things, but like Color Purple gonna keep coming up on this podcast. But like, man. I mean, Fresh Prince, like there's just so many things. The Wiz, yeah, it's the
Michael
talent,
Jackson the, off the wall, the greatest Michael Jackson album of all time.
Brilliant, casually brilliant, just like
Thriller.
Just
it's like all of this is just all like Quincy Jones is like almost. I'm not gonna say single handedly, but like, this man, his best friend was Ray Charles. They started off as 14 year olds playing in bands together. Get out of here.
Yeah. Just Titans.
What? Doing heroin.
Right. Tie me off. Tie me off, King. Uplift me.
All right. Keeping the musicians rolling. Representing my fiery side, my flair for performance, and my good looks.
I know who it is.
Whitney Houston, baby. The Voice, honey. The Voice from Newark, New Jersey. The diva, my girl. I mean, she's a Leo. She was stunning. She supported the girls.
Right.
She
was the girls.
Was the girls.
Was one of the girls.
Right. Was the girls. Like, yeah. Whitney was everything. Just, I get sad still that Whitney ain't here no more. Every time I hear Whitney sing, like, I have thought about killing myself after I heard Whitney Houston sing something because I was like, well, there's no point in me living anymore if that's what she was doing. She ain't even take a breath while she was doing that. I'm supposed to just keep living?
Not keep living. Shut up.
I'm supposed after that?
How am I supposed to continue to be here?
How am I supposed to go on? Yeah, I love Whitney. She was beautifully flawed. Big oldest daughter vibes, it feels, of like taking care of your family and how that can backfire on her.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely feel like she was taken from us too soon.
Yeah, of course.
But we miss you, girl, and we think about you all the time.
Right. All right. My next one. You actually said everything I was going to say because it is Whitney Houston. first time this has happened. Okay, so
my girl.
I'll put just to add to what you said because you already said. I put talented, niggerish, and deserved better from the community. I feel like, you know, before she left, I think we have a nasty tendency to throw people away when they like are not doing well, when they're not up, or like, you know, they're not doing the thing that they gave us. I was just talking to my roommate actually about disrespect of elders, and I was talking about other communities doing that, but even us, right? Like if people ain't up, we don't have no love for them, and I'm like, that ain't it, y'all. That ain't it. Like, look how much she gave us. And, like, she just deserved better.
She gave us so much. She gave us a lot.
And I feel like, you know, like, in her later years, she kind of became a punchline. Like, you know we love Mad TV, but punchline, right? And then, like, just the other stuff. So, it's just like, yeah, she deserved better from us. And, like, every time I hear her sing, I get sad every time I hear it. Like, I mean, I think about you every time I hear Whitney, too, because you love Nippy. But yeah, Nippy's on here. Yeah, just and just like a proud, talented hood mouse. Like, you know, just through and through. And, you know, we love talented hood mouse.
Yeah, we do. She never, she said, can I be me? Yes, Whitney, you can, boo. Every you day. Can. All right. My number one, the original city girl, a woman that represents my journey in a way that's not only artistically relevant, but literally physically relevant. It's that girl, Zora Neale Hurston. The original city girl going from Florida to New York and back, such as a person as myself. As we know, American writer, anthropologist, folklorist, documentary filmmaker. She portrayed racial struggles in the early 20th century of the American South. And she published a ton of stuff about African diasporic religions, which I've been really getting into her, that work of hers recently. We love Zora. It definitely started for me when we did that Our Ancestors Were Messy podcast.
Yeah.
And then we did Zora and Langston. I went into a Zora spiral. I have not stopped. She is just the queen of like being herself, telling her like it is, not letting no man hold her down.
Complicated.
Yeah.
Keeper of stories, somebody who like understands how important it is to remember, and then not only remember like important people or people that we deem as big or whatever, it's just like everyday blackness. And I think that was so smart and like just ahead of its time, because like look at now, like these niggas trying to erase everything. And I think
it's so wild.
And I think part of erasing everything, again, we're erasing the big shit. So we're erasing the big shit. You know, the little shit's getting like skipped over. So like,
you know what it is? It's because she grew, like was born in a black town.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was born in like the first like all black town in Florida. She was like, bitch, what you mean? Black people are what?
Right.
And I feel like I relate to that a lot, because when I moved to New York, the way people would talk to me about living in the South, like, oh, you're like, so glad to be here. I'm like, yeah, I am. But like, why are you saying it like that?
Right. Well, me and you have talked about this a lot. I feel like you and our friend Victor are like I love being connected to y'all, because y'all really do highlight like just Southern pride, and not in that fucking Confederate bullshit way.
Yeah, no.
But like in that just like, hey, there are human beings here. We got stories. We're not beneath y'all. Like, this is our culture. Like, this is what we do. It is different, but that's not bad or whatever. You know?
And also, the reason they think that, and people who think that, especially black people, is sad. Like, that's colonization. That's indoctrination. Mm-hmm. This was planned. This is why I'm reading a book right now about this. They said smart niggas will move to the North. And that's where that shit comes from. Mm. They said if you're a nigga with any sense, you'll move to the North. Not if you're a nigga with means, a nigga with opportunity,
right,
a nigga who has somewhere to go. They said if you have any fucking sense, you will go. And that's why people like that have those attitudes. But their ancestors are from here too, bitch.
Right, right. I mean,
like, what? Anyway, Zora's that girl. She reminds me, she really, like, especially now that I'm back living in the South, like, I have never been more proud to be a Southern person, especially once I moved away. But like, being a Black Southerner is the greatest honor of my life. Like, I'm from a people who know how to fight, who know how to survive, who know how to live, who know how to resist. I'm not ashamed of that. And I eat chitlins. Nigga, what? Right. All right.
Last one for me. So, I mean, this person kind of, We know the resume, but I just put mother, revolutionary, spy, and then I put in exclamation mark to freedom. Harriet motherfucking Tubman.
Hey, a real life superhero.
Knocking out babies.
I was gonna say knocking out babies.
Putting them paws on babies. With her shotgun. Knocking out babies, pulling guns on niggas, you know, whatever myth you done told about her is true, bitch. I think just everything we're talking about, like the fighter spirit, the you know, the incorrect notion that we are not our ancestors. I'm like, we are ancestors.
Well, we not, bitch. We could never. I'm like, I'm going to say, and I mean it with the highest respect, baby, I'm not surviving that.
I don't know.
I've wanted to go out for less. I've wanted to go for less. I wanted to go a few months ago because my fucking neck was hurting. I said that's enough.
That's hey, I can't even say nothing against that, right? Because like the internet go down too long. I'm like, look, do I need to be here? Like,
I love not having the internet. I have so many books. I have a library in my house, so I'm good.
Same, but even still, any inconvenience, I'm just like, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't know about this. This is
when I say I'm not them, I mean it in a way of like reverence and respect, because I don't know. I don't think that I could do. I would maybe be willing to like die and taste niggas with me, like, but I don't know if I'm not gonna be a homegirl from Beloved.
Oh, yeah, but no. But yeah, just that spirit, and then like even the like you got on and you went back several times, but like. Going back and bringing niggas with you, like we all must strive to be that way, and like gotcha. And at what cost? Your freedom, death, like whatever, right? So it's just like that. I feel like it's just like the best of us, like
come on,
you know. So anyway, yeah. Mother, brave, courageous, powerful. Amen. I just watched that. I've been watching that or listening while I was setting this up to the video. Did you see the video of Clifton Powell cussing them people out?
Oh, yeah. And he was like, I'm old now, and I didn't know this shit when I was young. I'm 70, but when I was 15, 60, I didn't know all that shit. Yeah.
Yeah. So Pinky came all the way out. So I was like, look at Pinky. So... I've been listening to that while I've been putting my shit together for this podcast, and I'm dying. But anyway, they kept talking about how men should be leaders and shit, and I'm just like, I see ancestors like Harriet. Like, why are y'all holding that? Like, why are y'all holding that? Like, I just feel like,
listen,
people with the skill set should do what's within their skill set, right? So like, if leadership
colonization
ain't your
thing, got niggas fucked up. Colonization got niggas fucked up. I want to hear, Aaron, do you have some ancestors in your Black Pantheon?
So I had Whitney Houston for a reason. Erica always says that Whitney Houston was the only Black princess we ever knew.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like
I
like
that.
The way she was treated for a window of time in our lives was the only Black princess we've ever known. When I heard that, like, I was always a Whitney Houston fan. Families, obviously. Like, obviously. I don't know. They have to, no, that would be to do some new generation hateration for anyone in my family to not like her. But, and through that lens, I was like, oh, and her life just became a little bit more beautiful. So, and also, you know, there was the she had the she's also closet queer.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and she had the friend.
Right, hello.
And she had
hello,
the bad friend. Taste in men to prove it too.
Right. Hello.
Having
friend,
bad
her roommate.
Taste in men is a hallmark. That's one of the main reasons I knew I was gay. Like when I look back, I'd be like, oh, it's clear. Like, look at all these people I chose. They're so bad.
Yeah, there was that. I had on here Michael K. Williams.
My God, I can't believe we forgot him.
Yeah.
And my own cousin Denise, who was... So my family, they're not ain't shit, but they're unfortunate. But she was the jewel of the whole thing. She was tragically taken away. Police actually shot... She was shot accidentally by police in New York. They were after... Right, they were running after someone shooting the way, you know, you're never supposed to use a gun ever, at all. And she caught a stray, and they're trying to get kids in the house. And,
doing hero shit.
Damn.
But she was it. She was the cook. She was the laughter. She was the joy. She was all of it. And, you know, and it's good to know. Because sometimes when your family is strange, you lose your own confidence in your own ability to help people, to be of value to other people, because you know you're not, you don't know it, but to know that if one person exists in this group of people, then you can be that person at some point. And so it's my cousin Denise. I miss her. I always miss her. She's great. She cooked the hell. She used to cook. Sorry, I'm not even gonna go down that road because I'm the person that keeps the time, and now I'm gonna go over time. So I'm
good.
No, today's episode is sponsored by Black Ancestral Veneration. Like, it is so important to remember that, like, every step we take is, like, on the shoulders of Black people who came before us, laid down their lives. Some of them, their lives were taken tragically, all just so we could be here right now. Like, it's the best time in the world to be Black. It's the best time in the world to be queer. It's the best time in the world to be trans. It's to say that, right? Think about what these people that we've talked about, what they went through, when this is the best time to be all those things. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. Ancestral veneration. A big thanks to our producer and audio Adonis, Aaron Ram Freeman.
I've been Vance Go, and you can find me on Instagram and Threads at Sir the Thought.
And I'm Nandi K. You can find me on Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky at Nandi K A Y Y Y. Pour one out for the ancestors, y'all.
Pour one out. Love y'all.
Right Quick is a podcast for The Agenda Productions, created by Nandi K and co-hosted by Vance Go. Aaron Ren Freeman is our mouthy producer. Theme music by Luke Santi. Art by Sonia Honeycutt. If you like what you heard, subscribe, rate, review, and follow us on Patreon at The Agenda Productions.